So you can see what we mean when we say that the two world wars of the 20th century annihilated our hopes for international socialism, for ending a global class system. Continuing with Proudhon, part second of the causes of our mistakes, the origin of property. The true form of human society cannot be determined until the following question has been solved. Property not being our natural condition, how did it gain foothold? Why has the social instinct, so trustworthy among the animals, erred in the cause of man? Why is man, who was born for society, not yet associated? I've said that human society is complex in its nature. Though this expression is inaccurate, the fact to which it refers is nonetheless true, namely, the classification of talents and capacities. But who doesn't see that these talents and capacities, owing to their infinite variety, give rise to an infinite variety of wills, and that the character, the inclinations, and if I may venture to use the expression, the form of the ego, are necessarily changed, so that in the order of liberty, as in the order of intelligence, there are as many types as individuals, as many characters as heads, whose tastes, fancies, and propensities, being modified by dissimilar ideas, must necessarily conflict. And I comment that the power guys might hear this as justification for their actions. If conflict stems from a diversity of wills, of thoughts, force everyone to be the same and we will have harmony, might be their reasoning. Harmony, however, at the end of a wave delivery mechanism. Continuing, man, by his nature and his instinct, is predestined to society, but his personality, ever varying, is adverse to it. And I comment, he is taking the human underclass for the human, but that was obviously occupational hazard if you were writing when he was writing. An infinite variety of wills modified by dissimilar ideas. We shall have to see, but I suspect, without his having the benefit of Karl Popper, John Boswell, and Alice Miller, that his belief may border on tautology, that he may not see that the idea of proving one is better than plays a role in the formation of a will to supremacy and stems from a breach of trust, a violation of the law of society that the earth gives us, or an accident of experience. But I do see his point. The human animal is endlessly inventive in the area of finding explanations, seeking answers to questions. And sometimes those answers found are based on inadequate information, which is all that we are presented with under class. Continuing, in societies of animals, all the members do exactly the same things. The same genius directs them. The same will animates them. I'm sorry. I'm smiling because this image just flashed into my mind of this big debate going on in New Jersey right now, because there's apparently a bear. I think it's a grizzly, who is walking around on his hind legs. So there's a big debate about what should we do about this. And so when I read him say that they all act the same will, that's the picture that came to mind. Continuing, a society of beasts is a collection of atoms, round, hooked, cubical or triangular, but always perfectly identical. These personalities do not vary. And we might say that a single ego governs them all. The labors which animals perform, whether alone or in society, are exact reproductions of their character, just as the swarm of bees is composed of individual bees. Alike in nature and equal in value, so the honeycomb is formed of individual cells, constantly and invariably repeated. But man's intelligence, fitted for his social destiny and his personal needs, is of a very different composition, and therefore gives rise to a wonderful variety of human wills. In the bees, the will is constant and uniform, because the instinct which guides it is invariable and constitutes the animal's whole life and nature. And I have to say, not to beat my point to bruises, with Charlotte Bronte, we, and in this case by we, I mean the human animal, and I must say this with Charlotte Bronte, that we should not take all, boy, I'm going to butcher her, I've already done. Thank goodness for editing, huh? Shall I start over? Not to beat my point to bruises, I must say with Charlotte Bronte, that we, and in this case by we, I mean the human animal, that we should take all we do at a moderate estimate, and ensure that in our freedom we unobtrusively observe and respectfully offer friendship when invited to our non-human animal friends, and so defer judgment on this question of whether or how they modify themselves with new experiences. Again, Kropotkin's Mutual Aid provides so much rich food for thought on this question. I've mentioned before his suggestion that the original nature of the gorilla was gregarious.